Thanks, Caleb. It's good to get some of our youth group, Salt and Light guys, reading the Bible out in front of us. We're actually going through five psalms in the month of January. And today we're looking at Psalm 23, which is a timely psalm. In terms of the news that we've just heard about Gordon, it's a psalm which brings us comfort. And it's a psalm which reminds us of what is going on in the world around us and how do we respond to that. In a lot of ways, life is good for us here in Australia. And so when bad things happen, it can sometimes catch us off guard a little bit, or we react to it. What do we do when bad things happen, when things don't go the way that we want them to, when life is not good? And it's not just the big events that are out there, places like Afghanistan and what took place last year, or the floods in Queensland. What about the things that happen in my life, things that are big for me? What do I do when things go off track? How do I think about God when that takes place? What happens when relationships are broken? You're dumped by a boyfriend or a girlfriend, when families are pulled apart, you get sick with COVID or with cancer. Maybe there's bad news about the kids. Today we're looking at Psalm 23. It's a psalm that's written by David, and he actually knew both extremes of life. Sometimes life was good. He was the king of Israel. He knew what it meant to have comfort and ease and riches. But at times for him, life, he's on the run. His life is in danger even from his family. And so Psalm 23, it's the most famous psalm in the Bible. In good times and in hard times, these are words for us. There's two main pictures that we come across. There's the shepherd in verse 1, and there's the host in verse 5. But I'm actually going to break into three, which we'll see in just a moment. It'd be great to have your Bibles open there in front of you. I've kind of noticed that the NIV 2011, loses a lot of the, the poetry of the verse. And so sometimes I might refer to the ESV, or you might remember the 84 version. But have your Bibles open as we look at Psalm 23. And we see verse 1. We see the Lord is my shepherd. Now the Lord there, the Lord is Yahweh. It's God, it's the God of Israel. And David describes him as a shepherd. He calls him my shepherd. The picture that we see in verse 1, it's a picture which is rich and personal and intimate. You know, some of the descriptions about God in the Bible, we see that God is king, God is majestic, God is creator, God is a rock, God is a shield. The picture here is relational. It's deeply relational. This is a picture of a shepherd who cares for his sheep. And so he leads the sheep. He guides them. He heals. He feeds. He cares for. He protects his people. Now, as David writes this, he's talking about Yahweh. He's talking about the God of Israel. But for us in the New Testament, who is our shepherd? Well, we saw in John chapter 10, the shepherd for us is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So our shepherd is Yahweh, but even more than that, we find out in the New Testament, it's Jesus. And we'll come back to that a little bit later, but keep that at the back of your mind as we look at Psalm 23. Now, as we do that, do you see what comes out of having God as shepherd? Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The ESV says, I shall not want. Now, maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I actually want a lot of things. I want all sorts of things, but I don't have them. I want a big house. I want a renovation. I want a holiday. I want to be healthy again and to get better. I want my kids to do well at school, to be good at sport. Maybe if you're on Salt and Light, I want to have a PlayStation. A new phone. I want a bunch of friends. Does this mean that God gives it to us? But David is not talking about a heavenly Santa Claus who gives us everything that I want. He's talking about a loving shepherd who gives us everything that we need. Everything that we really need. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Now, if you're a sheep, this is a picture of paradise here. Green pastures is an image of feeding and abundance, nourishment. Quiet waters, it's peace and safety. It's comfort, restoring the soul or refreshing the soul. It's how God looks after his people. And it can mean two things. It means restoring the soul. When the rebellious sheep wanders off, this is God bringing them back, restoring that soul into God's flock. On the other hand, it's refreshing us. Whatever crisis that we're going through, God brings relief and he lifts us up. Now, how does God do that? Now, sometimes it might be some kind of provision. Our situation changes just as we need it. But if we've been reading through the Psalms, just a couple of pages back in Psalm 19, we actually come across the same idea there. In Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. And here in Psalm 23, he refreshes my soul. You see, as we hear the word of God, as we hear the perfect law of the Lord, as we listen to Jesus, that's how God feeds us and restores us. He energizes us. That's how we keep going. You know, maybe at the moment, in the midst of COVID, all the things that are taking place, we actually feel that in our Christian life, that we're not refreshed. Maybe the problem is that we're not listening to Jesus every day on a regular basis. The first thing we see, the Lord is my shepherd. The second thing we see is that the Lord is my guide. Verse 3, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Now, still kind of the picture of the shepherd, but that's what the shepherd does. He leads the sheep out. As the sheep go out, he guides them. Now, the picture of farming today is pretty different to what it was back then. Today, you've got a bunch of sheep. You've got a farmer who's got like a quad bike or a motorbike, and he's got a sheepdog. And the sheep rounds up, the dog rounds up the sheep, pushes them forward, takes the sheep where he wants them to go by being behind them and pushing them onwards. I was reading an article to say that last year they've actually been looking at this idea of sky shepherding. The idea of sky shepherding is that instead of dogs chasing after sheep, they're using drones and seeing how that works. So you've got a drone that chases the sheep around. They actually fill the drones up with dog noises at the start. And then they realize just the sound of the drone was enough. But they want to make sure that it's ethical. And so what they're doing is that they're attaching sheep to heart monitors to measure how stressed the sheep is, the poor things running around with these heart monitors. But what I like is the idea of these 70 and 80-year-old farmers, you know, flying drones around to chase after the sheep. I think it's a great picture. But it's completely different to shepherding back in the time of David and in the time of Jesus. Back in those days, the shepherd actually goes out in front of the sheep. He leads the way. And the sheep, knowing what's good for them, they follow. Now, given a choice, where would you want the shepherd to lead us? Where would you want the shepherd to lead you in the next few months? Maybe you want the shepherd to lead you in the path of the easy life, or the path of success, the path of coming first at school, the path of a relationship working out, the path of good health, the path of being happy. The shepherd cares too much for us to let us choose our own adventure. He doesn't leave the directions up to the sheep. He guides us along the right path. The ESV again, he guides us along paths of righteousness because that's what we need. And did you see he does it for his name's sake? You know, we're so used to actually us being at the center of the universe. Psalm 23 flips that around a little bit. Psalm 23, it is about how wonderful the shepherd is and how wonderful it is to be one of God's sheep, how good it is that we can find comfort in that. But actually, Psalm 23 puts God at the center. And we should be focusing on the first part. How amazing this shepherd is. Because he does all of those things for his name's sake, for his reputation, for who he is. It's his character. But did you notice that as he guides us, the path is not always going to be easy. The shepherd does not always guide us through green pastures. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This year might not be easy. This year things may not go smoothly. It might not be a trouble-free way, the one that we were hoping for. There will be hard times. There might be dark times. It might not be because you've done something wrong, but God has actually led you there. Maybe a relationship will break down instead of working out, or a loved one dies. Bad news about our kids, maybe it's our health. But even then, in verse 4, we are still safe. We don't have to be scared of evil or disaster. Not because bad things don't happen, but when they happen, the shepherd is with us. Jesus is with us. We actually read in John chapter 10 what it is that God does for us, how it is that Jesus actually saves us. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, we have the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. There is one evil that we cannot escape, one disaster that we will all face, and that is our own death. We will go through the valley of the shadow of death, and one day we'll be confronted by our own death. And at that point, we realize all those other shepherds that we are trusting in, they can't save us. All those other things that we hope will actually rescue us, whether it's success or career, how big our houses are, our families, our money, those things that we trust in cannot rescue us. And we'll see those shepherds for what they are. They can be good things, but they're not the things to ultimately put our trust in. But we see how Jesus stands out. We read in John chapter 10, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And it's at that point we realize how striking it is. Other shepherds might risk their lives for the sheep. It's an occupational hazard. But it would be ridiculous for the shepherd to deliberately give his life for the sheep. But that's what Jesus does for us. He deliberately gives his life for the sheep because he knows there's no other way for the sheep to be brought through death. See, for us, the valley of the shadow of death, it's not a dead end. Jesus, the shepherd, has been through it and he's come out the other side. And the sheep who follow him, they would do the same. Did you see how in verse 4, David switches into first person? He no longer says, God is my shepherd. He doesn't say, he is like this. He says, you are with me in the darkest valley. It's like at our darkest place, we cling to God even more. And we find that it's at that point, he is with us in death and through death. We see in Psalm 23 a beautiful promise. Now, friends, this is the promise that God gives to Gordon in the face of cancer. And it's a promise that God gives to us to be with us even through death. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my guide. And finally, the Lord is my host. One of the tricky things about a wedding is that you actually have to plan who you invite to come to this wedding. You have a limited amount of space. You have a limited amount of money. Especially in the midst of COVID, you might actually have restrictions and you can only work out who do I invite, who I not invite, who makes the cut, who gets on the guest list. Because for yourself, for the person getting married, it's the event of a lifetime. Now for all of us, the event of eternity is coming up. Did you know that? But you don't need to be worried. We are in. The all-powerful creator of the universe, he wants you and me to be guests at his table. Let me read verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. This is a picture of relationship. It's a picture of fellowship and feasting, being brought in the table of the Lord, the feast that God throws. It's like in the flow of the psalm, you've been out in the countryside. You've walked through the valley of death, and now you're welcomed in by God himself to sit at the banquet with him. He anoints our head with oil. That means that we're in there, not as strangers who have snuck in. We are at this feast as honored guests. It's a picture of lavishness. My cup overflows. In the presence of my enemies, it doesn't mean that I'm stuck at a table where no one likes me. It actually means that we're at a victory banquet. All of our enemies have been defeated. Those enemies like suffering and sin and death and Satan, they're defeated. They don't have a hold on us anymore. If we're suffering today in the valley of the shadow of death, if we are suffering tomorrow, it will not last. Verse 6, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Maybe the question that pops into your head, just as the psalm was being read out, why is it that the shepherd leads the sheep through the valley that's full of danger into the shadow of death? Why would he do that? Part of the answer is because that's the world that we live in. We live in a world which is broken and bad things happen. But part of the answer is that he is taking us somewhere that is even better. Now, I want you to think for a moment, what is the best place you've ever been? What's the best place you've ever stayed at? Maybe for you, it's an Airbnb. Maybe it's going on a camping trip. Maybe it's Disneyland. A five-star hotel in Europe, maybe. You know, for me, I think one of the best places that I've stayed is staying in a zoo, actually, in Bali. And the accommodation was beautiful. We had a view of the pool in the background. There were rhinos that we could see from our window. We had a buffet breakfast where on one side there were lions, on the other side there were meerkats. We could see them. They couldn't see each other, so that was okay. They weren't freaking each other out. But we were there for breakfast for 3 hours. Beautiful place to be. What's the best place you've ever stayed at? Maybe it's a photo that your friend keeps sending you on their Instagram, those beautiful places they've explored. Whatever it is nothing compared to what we have in Psalm 23. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now for David, that would have been the temple, that the place of God's presence, being in God's presence forever. But the temple doesn't last. Actually, the temple was always meant to point forward to God's real kingdom, to God's real house, where we get to enjoy God's presence forever in heaven itself. And friends, that is our destination. That's when our journey will be over and we will be at home at last. Do you remember what John says, what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 2? My Father's house has many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. So where does that leave us? Psalm 23 shows us what it means to have the Lord as our shepherd. And as we go from the Old Testament to the New, it's Jesus. Jesus is our shepherd, our guide, our host. He gives life to the sheep. He feeds and protects us. He leads the way. He is with us, even through death itself. And he welcomes us into the feast of God, a place prepared for us in his Father's house. David knows that God is his shepherd. He doesn't just say, the shepherd. He says, my shepherd. What David says in verse 1, it is personal. It's intimate. And the big question we need to ask, is Jesus your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Is it personal? Is it intimate? Maybe you need to do that for the first time, that you realize that Jesus is not your shepherd. You've been sitting on the decision for a while now. Let me know if that's you. Do something about it, because this is what God offers each one of us. But I take it that a lot of us, we would nod our heads and say, yes, he is. Jesus is our shepherd. Well, can I ask you a different question? What are the things that come up for you that take your eyes off Jesus and where he's taking us? It's often those other shepherds that we trust in. It's often things like our career, our success, our money, the size of our houses, our families. Maybe we are the sheep that have started wandering off, and we need to come back on track with Jesus in 2022. Yeah, at the start of the year, how are you going in following Jesus as shepherd? But for all of us, don't miss the deep, deep comfort that's here in this psalm. Because if we can say the first half of verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, all the other things come after it, and they hold true for us as well. I lack nothing. He guides me and he takes me home. I don't know what this year is going to look like for you, but whatever 2022 throws at you, hold on to this psalm and say what David says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Let's pray. Lord, you are our shepherd and we lack nothing. You lead us to green pastures, to quiet waters. You refresh our souls. Guide us along the right paths for your name's sake. Even though we walk through the darkest valley, whatever happens this year, we praise you that we don't have to fear any evil because you are with us. We give you thanks for the table that you've prepared in advance for us. You anoint our heads with oil. Our cup overflows. Goodness and love follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in your house forever because of Jesus. Amen. Friends, can I just encourage you to do two things? Can I challenge you this week to pray for two things? Can I encourage you, challenge you to pray for Gordon and his family? Can I also encourage you to pray Psalm 23? Every night for this week, pray it by yourself, with your spouse, with your kids. Let what Psalm 23 says speak to us in our prayer life, that it might set the agenda for the rest of the year. I'll hand time over to the musos.